following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back into the Green 19 podcast. This is Jim Ozarski, along with my colleague Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, PackersNews.com, and we are back to preview the 2020 NFL Draft that happens later this week. Green Bay Packers open up with the number 30 overall selection, 10 total draft picks. Although, Tom, you know, this team has a lot of needs, has some roster holes, and Brian Gutekunst, you know, probably won't stay in all of these spots. We'll get to that later, but let's welcome you in. We are back together for the first time in a little bit as we've navigated our company-mandated furloughs, but we're here now, and let's get right into it for Packers fans who are ready for live, real NFL content, and you know, let's hit these needs and options, especially at number 30 if they stay there. What pops to you as you've kind of done your prep and talking to people around the league and your own research on what the Packers need and might do there in the first round?
Well, there's a lot of options, and as you said, indicated that Gutekunst indicated as well that they're going to be moving around, and I think this is a draft where there could be a lot of trades. And the reason I think that is that a lot of times with all these workouts and pro days and visits, the scouts and general managers know a lot about these guys, and they sort of get a sense of who's interested in what, and a consensus kind of builds as to who's going to take what. And I think this year that consensus is not there because there's so many questions still. There hasn't been a lot of interaction between the scouts. There hasn't been a lot of information on who the teams have been video conferencing with and things like that. So I don't think teams know who's taking what for sure. And as a result, I think there are going to be some teams moving, whether it's just a few spots or a lot of spots, to position themselves to get the players they really want. So that'll be, I'm looking to see if there's a ton of trades in the first round. And I think Gutekunst could be one of those guys. I think he's always looking to move a few spots to get someone he likes. And, you know, one of his favorite trading partners is John Schneider with the Seahawks, who are always willing to trade and get more picks. So I could see him moving up there if one of the two inside linebackers, Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray, are available. Maybe if someone gets kind of drops that wasn't supposed to be there, like maybe LSU receiver Justin Jefferson or one of the tackles that could be available, Andrew Thomas maybe. I just think it's kind of unpredictable because of that, and I look for him to try to use some of those picks to move around. Not a lot, but or not big moves, but some smaller moves.
That's interesting, and we'll, you know, Tom, folks, please stick around, and Tom's going to kind of run through his mock draft here towards the end of the podcast. We'll break down some of these players individually, but it's interesting, Tom, I guess the idea of inside linebacker being that, I don't want to say coveted, but or perhaps those players being worth enough for him to move up, I guess. I'm a little surprised that you would think Brian Gutekunst would value that position that highly. I guess to me that felt like a, well, if Oren Burks could finally show something, or maybe they give another third, fourth round guy a shot to pair with Christian Kirksey, I don't know. Yeah, that surprises me. I guess is Kenneth Murray, Patrick Queen, are they that good that it changes his mind?
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're impact players. I think they're, it's a position that has changed quite a bit. And so you need a lot of speed and you need guys who can get sideline to sideline. And these two guys can do it. And I understand and get what you're saying about the possibility or the overranking the position, that it's not as important. There are some good inside linebackers later in the draft that he could get. It just depends on how much he values it. And I view them as in a close to panic situation at inside linebacker. I mean, they can't count on Oren Burks. They can't count on Christian Kirksey. They don't know if he's going to last the whole season. Is Ty Summers going to be one of their inside linebackers? I don't know. I think they will take one somewhere. I think if one of those guys is there, they could think about moving up and taking him. It just depends on who really tickles Gutekunst's fancy. If there's someone, a tackle there or a wide receiver that he really likes, then maybe he's willing to just let those guys pass. But I think you'd have to think about him because they're those two guys are the top inside linebackers, and there's a big drop off after that.
Okay, so it's funny because I guess I have an ideological split there with you. So not only me personally as a football observer, writer, if you, you know, I don't think inside linebackers, unless they're going to be that sort of top 10 kind of guy, it's worth it. I think I put receivers in the same boat. For me, I just look at right tackle, Tom, and I think you can find an inside linebacker who can play for you for 4 or 5 years, Blake Martinez, excuse me. Whereas I think if you want a right tackle who can play for 10, that's a guy you need. That's a hole you need to fill in the first round, because David Bakhtiari is a unicorn. You know, he's the left tackle version of Tom Brady in my view. You don't find those guys in the middle rounds. So where do you feel about, I guess, about that need? You know, is Rick Wagner really the guy for 2 years, for a year, and you say, well, we'll address it in 21? I don't know. I guess I'm curious where you feel that outside, pass blocking, run blocking, especially now as they're trying to really get this outside zone concept going. Where does that right tackle fit?
Well, I think it's high on the list. I think it's very high on the list. And I think there's probably several guys they have in mind there or at their second pick. Or maybe it's later in the second round and they're willing to trade back if they can do it. I think it's a high, high priority. I wouldn't count on Rick Wagner. I think he could fill a gap, and you could get a young guy and maybe sort of like an Elgton Jenkins situation where, Wagner starts and then, at some point maybe gets injured or he's not performing and then you stick the rookie in the lineup. I actually think that is their biggest priority. I mean, I think that's their biggest need. I just believe they have options there that they don't have to take a guy in the first round. I think you can still get a pretty decent guy in the second round. I don't know. You have to weigh the second round inside linebacker versus the second round offensive tackle. Which one's going to be better? And I think offensive tackle would be better. Anyway, I definitely think that's high on the list, and they do need someone who they can stick in there for 10 years and not have to worry about it. So that will be a position, I'm not sure how it's going to fall. Some of the really top guys are going to be gone. I mean, you're not going to get Tristan Wirfs, or, you know, it's just not going to be there. So you're going to be talking about guys like Thomas, maybe Isaiah Wilson, Ezra Cleveland, guys like that. And you're banking a lot on potential with those guys.
The so of course right now Packers fans are screaming at us because we've hit two needs that are not wide receiver, Tom. they Packers fans, I do know this, they feel that that's where they have to go. A lot of the mock drafters out there believe, depending on the name, that's where the Packers go. Is that a first round need? I'll pinpoint it in that way, because we know it's a need, but is it a first round need?
I don't think so. I would not take a first rounder. Well, in general, I wouldn't take a wide receiver in the first round unless he's Jerry Jeudy, who's, or C.D. Lamb. I mean, those guys are impact players, and they're going to play right away. I think that at number 30, you're almost in the second round, so I wouldn't totally rule out taking a wide receiver there. But there's so many good ones, so many guys. If you can't get a speed guy early, you can get a speed guy in the second round. You could probably get a speed guy in the third or fourth round. You have a lot of players who have, you know, draftable grades, and a lot who have grades that view them as NFL players and some starters. It's such a good class that I don't think you need to hurry. If you got a need or there's a player there that you like, let those guys go and try to pick someone in the second.
So that we hit three kind of big spots there, and we've alluded to it now a couple times with that position of 30. I think it's a transition here. You know, Brian Gutekunst told us in February, Tom, that I think it was sort of a throwaway line. You know, if there was someone in the top 10, you know, that was fall, we would go up, we'd be prepared. And he was asked in his Monday mandatory meeting with us via teleconference about being aggressive. And I think the question, Tom, was meant for for him to answer, do they have the ammunition to move up somewhere in the draft? And then he was like, yeah, we have what we need. And then at the very end, he says, and if we need to move back, we will do that. And, you know, I think we as beat writers kind of know that about that Brian to a degree. But I do want to put that out there for Packers fans that you could see the, hold on your horses here, the TJ Watt, Kevin King thing, move out of the first round to get to early in the second and maybe stack some picks, add maybe a first in a coming year. So let's kind of take that idea, Tom, I'll narrow it down. To move up, moving to 27 isn't really going to be sexy. Is Brian Gutekunst in a position, do you think, let's just say, let's cut the round in half, would he move to the top half? Do they have enough? Would he be willing to maybe dangle that 21 first rounder or swap some stuff and really gamble to move up into that top half of the draft for one of those guys, whether it's an inside linebacker, maybe Jerry Jeudy falls. Maybe there's a weird trade and that whole board kind of reshuffles in a way no one could predict as we record this. Is that on the table for Brian Gutekunst and the Packers?
I don't think trading the 21 pick, first round pick, is on the table. That's something Ted Thompson would never do. And I don't believe Ron Wolf ever did it either. And that leads me to believe that Gutekunst wouldn't do it. I think they value that their picks too highly. He could still get into the middle of the round with his second round pick. If he decided to package that, he could get into the middle of the first round. I would think that if he moved up to get someone, I have a feeling it would be Javon Kinlaw, the defensive lineman from South Carolina. I think if he could pair a guy like that with Kenny Clark, they would have a defense for the ages. I mean, they would be dominant up front, provided Kinlaw plays up to his potential. But he's a demon up there. I think you trade, if you're going to move that far up, you trade for immediate impact guys. And I see him as, you know, one of the best players in the draft. I don't think I would move that high for a wide receiver. I don't think I would move that high, maybe for a tackle. I would consider doing that for a tackle. You know, if Tristan Wirfs dropped that far, or Mekhi Becton, or I guess maybe those are two of the guys I would consider. Well, Jedrick Wills, but he's not going to drop that far. I would consider it. I think if you can, boy, if you can get a pass rusher, a big man, you know, Gutekunst has always said he really values size and athleticism. And someone like Kinlaw is, I mean, what is he? He's like 6'6". He's extremely fast, 324. You know, he's just a beast inside. That's the kind of move I think he would do to shake it up. But otherwise, I think his move, if he does make a move in the first round, it'll be just a couple of spots to make sure that he can jump in front of maybe Baltimore or Tennessee.
So moving back, you know, and again, I think Packers fans always, Tom, will be burned so brightly about that, what could have been with TJ Watt and Kevin King. And even if Kevin King signs a second deal with the Packers, Tom, I think the fact that Gutekunst had to spend over $100 million on the Smiths and then draft Rashawn Gary kind of still will always stick fans in that way, not only being a local guy, but of course having to pay for not developing a guy. But this is a situation where, you know, Gutekunst told us, and what I thought was interesting about trading back and what really rekindled that for me, Tom, was when he said, well, to move around to the areas of the draft I think are strong. Mm-hmm. And while he may think the third round is very strong and he wants to add more picks in the third round, a way to truly accumulate high second rounders or – because, look, I mean, they're picking 60 in the second mm-hmm. round. If he wants to get to 36, you know, maybe Cincinnati wants to move up. You know, the Bengals don't typically trade, but I'll throw them out there as an option, mm-hmm. right, to move out of 33. How do you view that? Because if you're not taking Judy or Lamb, you might have five receivers there at the early part of the second round. Maybe there's an inside linebacker we haven't talked about. Is that – how real do you think that is to maybe drop into that – the first couple picks of day two, but then maybe they've got – I'm just going to throw numbers out, folks, not just to say a team – to predict a team here, but let's say – 34, 48, 60. You know what I mean? Where do you feel about kind of stacking some second or third round picks?
Well, I think if you drop into the second, you leave yourself with all kinds of possibilities. I think it's not a bad idea to get out of there, particularly if you can hold that pick up for someone who wants a quarterback. Now, all these teams at the back, you know, Seattle – wouldn't mind trading back, I'm sure. Baltimore would unquestionably do it. I'm sure Tennessee would do it. You know, San Francisco at 31 would consider it. So I think that option is there. You got to kind of look and see whether a team gets the quarterback that they want. You know, does New Orleans at 24 take a quarterback, or do they, you know, do something for their defense or offensive line? And then let's say they don't get a quarterback. Well, maybe they really like Jordan Love or something like that, and they want to move up. Or maybe a team without a first-round pick, you know, Buffalo, They don't need a quarterback, but Chicago, you know, they kind of need a quarterback. Indianapolis, if they don't get a quarterback, maybe they want to move up a little bit. So I think you have some teams that will want to get in there. I don't know if the, you know, I wouldn't think it would be a bad thing for the Packers to move back. I really don't. I mean, they've got a pretty good, pretty decent amount of talent. And if they could add a couple of second rounders in this draft, like you said, he talked about going to the strength, and the strength might be the second round.
One last element of a trade, Tom, and we'll get after this, get into the, actually the process of making trades and some of the technological issues or that they may have. After our last podcast, fans really wanted to know about Lane Taylor's situation. He's still on the team. He's got 1 year left on his deal. I think you've seen this, you know, that the 49ers reportedly are floating, you know, a receiver like a Marquise Goodwin as a trade. What about that? The idea that, you know, a lot of national media are kind of focused on, say, Cincinnati and Andy Dalton, right? You know, that deal couldn't have been done months ago, but maybe that's a draft day trade. Mm-hmm. What about, could the Packers get involved with moving a pick and a player? You said maybe they don't want to move a 21 first rounder, but could a starting right guard and number 30 be enough to move to a certain spot? Where does that idea fall? Because we don't usually see contracted players get traded draft day, Tom. But this is a unique situation, and we might not have football until training camp. You know what I mean? So Lane Taylor might be actually kind of appealing to, say, Tampa Bay. You know what I mean? As they try to be ready to win in 2020. What about that idea of moving a player off this roster along with
the pick? I think so. I think that's a possibility. I think those kind of trades happen before the draft, not during it. So I do think that's possible. I think there are guys who are probably getting shopped a lot. But it also, you know, you also don't necessarily want to shop anybody till you know what you get out of the draft. So I think those trade possibilities are going to pop up more after the draft. I think there are going to be some decent receivers out there after this draft, because teams are going to be bringing in some multiple receivers. Some teams will be bringing in multiple receivers, and they're cheaper, you know, they're better for your cap. And, you know, you could see, Sammy Watkins or Marquise Goodwin or, you know, some of the guys in Miami, you know, that there could be a couple guys that the Packers would be interested if they don't get, you know, if they get a developmental guy in the second round or something like that. I definitely think there could be trades after.
So what's interesting about this, Tom, and I think you're swimming against the current a little bit with believing there will be more trades or heavy trade activity. That's one of the questions Gutekunst got Monday. GMs around the league have gotten about the trade activity with this virtual draft. And I think what's interesting, Tom, is this story will be up over at PackersNews.com, JSOnline.com, where I kind of break down what this is going to look like for teams, for the Packers. And, you know, Gutekunst is going to be in one room at his house. His whole staff will be in their homes. They use Microsoft Teams. Microsoft is a partner of the NFL. They have some what they call redundancies. I don't think the NFL wants to promote those because they're not licensed partners, but I do believe Zoom, some of those things are part of it. And it's funny, though, Tom, because I think a lot of people are you know, wondering, wow, there won't be this much. How are they going to communicate? And actually, Tom, I'm forgetting the guy's name, but the NFL Network, an NFL VP of business, talked about the tech, and he basically said it's like a conference call anyway. Mm-hmm. Like they're, yeah, they might have 20 people in the war room, so to speak, but the teams are still just calling in their picks and they're still just calling one another. You know, I had, you know, Randy Miller, a former NFL general manager, tell me, he's like, okay, look, sometimes you get 3-4 phones in the room. Your personnel guy's the one who actually has the dialogue about the trade. Your cap guy is on the phone. So he's like, there might be an uncomfortable factor because it's different, but the process is all the same. You know, so Brian Gutekunst told that he would not tell us who his other fail-safes are. The teams are allowed up to 3 people to make a pick for him. Mm-hmm. If, say, his phone cut out like it did during our conference call. Yeah. But it's, you know, I think some of this, like, ramp-up is a little overblown. I know people saw, hey, there was a glitch in their system when Cincinnati went to trade the number one overall pick in the sort of their mock on Monday. But other than that, I think it went pretty smooth. Goody said he had no issues with it. So I think the process of it, it's going to look strange, Tom. I mean, you and I right now, we're looking at each other. You're falling asleep as I talk. dogs are running around. I mean, it's going to look like that for us. I guess on a production value, I think fans just have to kind of get used to the fact that, hey, it's probably going to look like their fantasy draft to a degree.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue for these guys is that you can't wheel around in your chair and turn to your scout and say, quick, who, you know, is this the guy? You're sure this is the guy? I mean, you might have your connection with all your scouts, but I think sometimes you want to just look in a guy's eyes and say, you're sure about this guy, right? You know, we're sure about him. Or, you know, who do you think Tennessee's going to take here? You know, I need a consensus right now. I think that's where teams are going to suffer, just with their own guys. And yes, they'll be there, but sometimes personal interaction means more for a general manager, so he can gauge confidence and things like that within the room, and can get people, you know, he could quick turn to Pat McKenzie and say, you're sure his knee is okay, you know, give me a percentage, or something like that. That's where I think they'll miss that. But I think from the mechanics of getting the pick in and making trades, I don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, for Packers fans, you might actually get to see Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur either live on camera or shortly after. The Packers are not a team, Tom, right? That usually allows NFL Network, ESPN cameras into their war room. Is that okay? So I think what the NFL told us was every team, every GM, every coach will have a camera in their home. So, you know, Matt LaFleur is elected not to speak to us since the combine. We assume he's at home doing what he would normally be doing. So Packers fans might get a chance to see him for the first time in 2 months. Maybe he's got a full-on giant beard, Letterman-style beard, for all we know. So that might be, in terms of interesting or new content for Packers fans, they might actually cut to the organization during the draft, live or shortly after. So let's get into, Tom, your version of a mock draft. We'll let you kind of run through the first half pretty quickly, and then as we get to the Packers, we'll have a little back and forth here on what who's going, why they're going, and maybe who's available and or not, I guess, as the Packers. And let's assume for this exercise they're going to stay at 30 unless you want to throw us a curveball and have them move to any part of the first round.
Yeah, I think we can assume that they'll stay at 30, but I'll go over a couple of options. You know, so the top half of the draft, there will be one surprise. Someone will make a surprise pick that, you know, people go, oh, that threw my mock draft off. You know, that happens quite often. So, you know, the standard from what I think you can count on is, of course, Cincinnati's going to take Joe Burrow. Washington, you could expect to take Chase Young. I think it's possible they could trade out of there. You know, Miami, I don't know. You keep hearing so many different things, like the Justin Herbert thing coming up. You know, for all offseason, we've heard they're going to take Tua Tagovailoa, and now all of a sudden it's Herbert. I don't know. I think that a lot of stuff has been thrown in there. I think the Lions will stay at 3 and take Okuda. The Giants will probably take Jedrick Wills, the offensive lineman, at 4. Then Miami will take Tua, and San Diego may take Herbert. They could be a team that picks someone that nobody expected. Carolina, they're probably going to take Isaiah Simmons. Let's just say for argument's sake, Tristan Wirfs maybe to Arizona, Derek Brown to Jacksonville. I think at some point Andrew Thomas, the tackle from Georgia, is going to be gone, whether that's the Jets or the Browns. Mekhi Becton, he'll also be gone, offensive lineman from Louisville. Then, you know, you've got the receivers. Maybe Oakland takes Jerry Jeudy and San Francisco takes Henry Ruggs. Atlanta, they probably need a corner or pass rusher. You know, maybe a C.J. Henderson or maybe Kinlaw there. You know, Denver needs a wide receiver. I think here's some guys I think that won't be there. CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver, I don't think he's going to be there. Kinlaw, you know, he won't make it to 30. A.J. Terrell, cornerback, I don't think he'll make it there. Xavier McKinney, safety, I'm not sure he'll make it there. Kenneth Murray, kind of doubtful that he'll make it there. Anyway, so we get, let's start at maybe New Orleans at 24. And, you know, they need, you know, they got to think about Drew Brees. They're a little bit like the Packers, but they're the Packers on steroids there. How many years does Drew Brees have? Maybe one, maybe two. So they got to think about a quarterback, but they'd like to improve their defense too, particularly at linebacker. So they could take one of those inside linebackers. You know, the Vikings, they got to replenish the corner position. They lost both, you know, they got rid of Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes, and they're pretty desperate at corner. But they also traded Stephon Diggs, so they could use a wide receiver there. Dolphins, you know, they're going to take an offensive lineman at some point. Seahawks at 27, they're going to, you know, you never know with them, but they need to replace Jadeveon Clowney, so they need a outside rusher. They could also always use an offensive lineman. Then you get to Baltimore, and a lot of people have them taking Patrick Queen or Kenneth Murray, and, you know, they've got to replace C.J. Mosley in the middle. But, you know, they have some – they might want to get another weapon for Lamar Jackson. You know, I could see them taking a wide receiver there. And then Tennessee, I think – this is where if the Packers are really wanting an offensive tackle, they may have to jump over Tennessee to get that, because Tennessee's got to replace Jack Conklin, who left. I mean, they don't have a right tackle. So Green Bay and Tennessee are two teams that are looking for right tackles. And if Green Bay has someone they really want, they may have to get over Tennessee. And maybe that means getting to Seattle's pick at 27. Gutekunst always loves to trade with John Schneider. I think Miami is an option for trading. They got so many picks. They have 14 picks. They might as well add two more. You know, they just cut 6 guys off their roster the other day. So they're thinking about bringing in a lot of rookies. So they could be a trading partner. Saints also. You know, they may decide they could get a quarterback late in the round or something like that. So when the Packers get there, I think some of the guys that will be available, I think the wide receiver from Arizona State, Brandon Ayuk, will be there. I think possibly Josh Jones, a tackle. I think Zach Bond from Wisconsin will be there. I think Jonathan Taylor will be there. And I want to say, if I were the Packers, I would think really hard about taking Jonathan Taylor there. I honest to God think that the combination of him and Aaron Jones, if they want a weapon that could have an impact immediately, he could, in the later half of the year when it weather's cold and they need someone to pound. I mean, this guy's pretty special. I'm really high on him, probably higher than most people. But if I'm the Packers and he's sitting there, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking hard about it. DeAndre Swift, running back from Georgia, is a good player, but he's not the power type guy. He's more of a pass catcher kind of guy. I know they would like Kenneth Murray, the inside linebacker, or Patrick Queen fell. They would like that. I think people want to see them take Denzel Mims, the wide receiver from Baylor. I think he'll be there. But I think he's really a physical wonder. But I still think you can get guys who are better receivers than him. I mean, better wide receivers, not necessarily more athletic, but better at the position. I guess I've gone through a ton of guys, and it sounds like I have no idea who they're going to pick, and that's because I don't. Nobody knows for sure. But there's a lot of options, and it really is going to be who does Gutekunst value. And I think you have to look at trends. You know, you have to look at trends. He likes big wide receivers. He likes big guys who are athletic. They want to improve their run game. They really do. And I think that means that at some point they'll take a running back, and I think it means they'll build their offensive line. So with that said, there you go. I don't know if I'm going to reveal my pick here today, but I am going to reveal it in the paper tomorrow. I'll just say I'm leaning towards them taking a tackle. That's the way I feel right now. But I also wonder, you know, if Jonathan Taylor were there, what they would do.
Yeah, I will follow your lead. And actually, it's I'm kind of, fans listening to this could probably know where I'm leaning in towards in terms of my pick also for PackersNews.com, just the way I feel about offensive linemen. I guess it'll be which one do I think the Packers will have available for them late in the first round. Because I do think they're going to stay late in the first round. I also don't think they're going to jump up to the top half, Tom. I mean, I could see that little bit of a move might be boilerplate to say that they could trade with Seattle. But it also does make a lot of sense. I mean, I don't, you know, Chris Greer, the GM in Houston, or excuse me, in Miami, the reason I bring him up, and I think you were smart to point that out for our listeners, Tom, there's no trading history, there's no work history between Greer and Gutekunst, but how many Dolphins and Packers have now switched in the last year? Whether it be Adam Pankey and James Crawford going right away to Miami, or now the Packers claiming a couple of their recent guys. Look for stuff like that. I mean, usually that means GMs or their scouts are on similar wavelengths. They value those players. I always bring up Cincinnati East with New England. There are so many former Bengals in New England and things like that. You just see teams that seem to like the same kinds of guys. So I think you were smart there to mention Miami, Tom, because clearly somewhere in their scouting departments, there are a lot of similar type grades. So, Yeah, it's interesting. You know, here we are. It's it is draft. People have talked about it. Now the world has changed. You know, I think it's been a little bit of a different run up than we usually get. For instance, we are not talking about voluntary workouts starting this week because they didn't. All of that stuff will begin. You know what's funny, Tom, is we'll have to talk. Well, Gutekunst tried to defer. Hey, Matt would be a better person to talk to. Well, we're not going to talk to Matt LaFleur until after the draft. But what some of the players were telling me, Tom, is they're not actually doing that until next week. Yeah, they were, I guess, given a little bit of a leeway with when that begins formally. If they were going to go to Lambeau, it would have been April 20th.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe that's had to start just yet, because I think teams are still trying to figure out, you know, how to do that. You know, so hopefully, you know, next week we will be back to wrap not just the draft, but finally being able to talk to the head coach. We'll have an idea of what they're going to be doing, both virtually and, you know, his plan on a potential cancellation for all of the spring camps, OTAs, and maybe, you know, the Browns were supposed to come in for training camp. I mean, the whole world of football is up in the air right now, Tom, and you'd have to think Matt LaFleur has an idea of what he wants to do or what they can do with that. So the Green 19 podcast, Tom and I, we will be back for you next week. Thank you for finding us again this week. And, of course, download and subscribe to the JSOnline.com apps, the PackersNews.com apps. You want to turn the notifications on, because even if something goes haywire tech-wise on your end, the NFL's end, you want those alerts so we are getting buzzing you in your pocket or on your multiple devices in your homes during the draft, so you don't miss a thing when it comes to the Green Bay Packers and the 2020 NFL draft. So here we go, Tom. We will be seeing each other soon. And
yeah, let me promote the fact that we'll have a podcast on Friday, and then after the first round pick on Thursday, and then I think we're going on Sunday possibly. And then the live blog will be going for all 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, through every pick. So don't forget to tune in there, and it'll be a lot of fun. I'll be drinking a lot of coffee and hammering out a lot of words that I probably regret. Yeah. Yep, we gotta regather. Even, you know, that's a virtual regathering that we've been doing for years. So it's time to get back together.
So we will see you all then. We will talk to you soon. And for Tom, I am Jim. See you next time.